Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Let's pray together. Most gracious Father, as we come boldly to the throne of grace this resurrection morning, Father, knowing that you've made a way and prepared a way for us, O God. Father, as we submit our mind and hearts and thoughts over to you, Father, asking you to open up the eyes of our understanding and our ears, Lord God, that we could hear what your Spirit has to say to the church. Father, we're dependent upon you this morning, not of man's intellect, man's knowledge, but of life from the Spirit and life from the dead. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord God, and we praise you in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Young, be seated this morning. Many people are in churches this morning and don't visit churches. We say that Easter Sunday has become a religious day, probably one of the greatest religious days of all time. People that don't frequent the house of God will visit the house of God, and you know, they go, and we would hope that they hear the word of God and receive life. That's what we pray and that's what we hope on Easter services. But then yet, there's always something that's taking place. Either we're going to receive life or reject life. Life is resurrection. There's a resurrected life. There's a natural life. And it's sad to say that more so people that go to church on Easter Sundays receive judgment of God more so than life. It's God's will and desire to give you life. That's what his heart's desire is. He gave his life that you could have life. When he was beaten upon the cross of Calvary, he did that for you and I. It wasn't for his life or salvation. He is salvation. He is power. He's the Prince of Life. But he done it that we could have life and life more abundant. Amen. I'm going to take a little bit maybe different of approach this morning than what your standard maybe Easter service. I could go into the scriptures and read about his crucifixion, about the travails he went through in the Garden of Gethsemane and going before the people as they sang this morning of the people screaming out to crucify him and the mobs turned against him. Terrible thing. But it's where we found life and that's what we've got life from. We could talk about him going into the earth, being within the earth for 3 days, coming forth from the earth as the resurrection and life. Amen. But I want you to turn with me this morning, and that will be, I guess we could say, maybe the theme of thought, which it is in all services, because without his resurrection, there would be no life. Again, I want you to turn with me to Matthew, the 13th chapter. We'll go to the first verse there. It says, "The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and set, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries, the secrets. It is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Esaias, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their ears, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted. And I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When any one heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed in the stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth the seed in good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth, some 100, some 60, some 30. I want you to turn just a couple chapters over to chapter 21 just for a moment. Doing a little bit of reading here this morning, but I want you to go to 21 over to verse 18. It says, "Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only, and said unto it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away," right before their eyes. Presently they saw this, they witnessed it. "And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, How soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say to this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And thanks whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." Amen. Now I know on an Easter Sunday or a Resurrection Sunday, you think, well, why would you go into speaking about these parables and speaking about these things being sown? Well, when we think of springtime and we look outside, we know that there's many farmers are taking and planting seed within the ground right now. And we see things start coming forth out of the ground. And if we would think of a water world, the Bible talks about a water world, a blood world, and a spirit world. You actually live in a blood type life, walking among a water type earth that's relative to the things of water. It needs the rain, it needs the water to have life out here. You stop the rain, everything withers away and dies. When we think of a water type and we look out here, and the Lord Jesus is using this worldly water type as an example of life. This is why I turned over to Matthew 21 and read about when he hungered, and we talk about something that pertained to water world or water life, a tree. And there was no fruit upon that tree. He looked and said there was leaves only on it, and he cursed the tree, and it withered up before their eyes and perished away right before their eyes. But again, as we look out into the natural world, we see that there's a seed that is sown into this ground, and it'll push up forth from this earth, and it'll bring forth fruit, things that bring life. If the seed is no good, then it would be barren. It wouldn't bring no forth, no life. When we think of that seed, there's a little life inside that little seed. And the Bible teaches us in other parables that that seed must go into the ground and it must die. And then it'll bring forth abundance of life. Again, the Lord using the things of this natural world to bring forth a revelation to us of what truly is the true, genuine resurrection. On this day, we'll have ministers all over the country, all around the world, speaking about Jesus and about him being sowed into this earth. He was taken and murdered and crucified. The Bible teaches us very clearly that he was beaten upon recognition beyond marred. He was just terribly beaten, so terrible bad. We know a few years ago a movie came out about this crucifixion, and some of the people that watched on, they said it was an exaggeration, too brutal and things, and I don't think it was near as brutal as it truly was. I think that the people of Hollywood, those directors or whatever, I think that God allowed them to show forth how really terrible it truly was of what our Savior, our God, went through that we could have life. When we witness the brutality and the things that he went through, and this is what the church would be speaking on mostly again this morning all around the world, talking about this brutality and speaking about this resurrection of him coming forth from the ground. What a wonderful message and a wonderful thing to be speaking. But many times they don't see the resurrection, don't understand the resurrection. It would be just like the Lord said here in this parable. Even though they're hearing, even though they're seeing, they don't see. And they don't hear. This is a very common problem that people think they hear and they don't. The Bible teaches that men think they understand, but they don't understand nothing whatsoever. When Jesus again stood before him, you saw what he said here about them seeing and not seeing. In other cases, he said the same things many, many times. So we can't depend on what we see with these eyes. We can't depend on what we hear with these ears, because that's what Jesus was dealing with. Though you see, you don't see. Though you hear, you don't hear. And multiplied millions upon millions of people hear what they think is the word of God, but they're not hearing whatsoever at all. They don't have ears to hear. You know, it would be foolish for a man to go through life with such a confidence in his own ability and skills to think, well, I know I hear. We think of Brother Paul. He was on a street called Straight. He was in the synagogues daily preaching, and he was a man that thought he heard. Thought he knew God. He was out persecuting the church and putting the Christians, pursuing them to put to death. And he felt that he was a man of God. But then he was stricken down on that street called Straight and made blind. And he come to understand that he really didn't see. And he got the shucks removed off of his eyes that he could see. I was preaching, making an effort to fulfill the calling in my life, young in the Lord and young in the ministry. And I came to the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Lord prepared my heart and prepared me to move across the country, I came to a place and the minister said, when he got me baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, he said, the shucks will come off of your eyes. See, I was a man that thought I saw, thought I understood. But then yet there was something that was veiling my eyes that I could not see clearly. But the minister of God saw this and ministered to me and helped me. And I got the shucks off my eyes and started again seeing good when good came. But there's multitude thousands of people in that condition. We read here about the parable about some being sowed, their seed being sown forth right now as we speak. And we know that when this seed goes forth, that if you've got good soil and good ground, this seed will produce and bring forth a life. If it doesn't bring forth life, then it's bad soil. As we again read the parable, some of the soil was stony ground, hardness of men's hearts. You know, there's a macho realm that runs in man. I remember when I first got saved and started going to church, I'd go to church and I'd see people weep before the Lord, and I was hard. I was trained up, you know, macho. You know, I never saw my father cry. He was a macho man. If you didn't believe it, he'd whip you and show you how macho he was. That's the kind of household I raised up in. I didn't come home from school crying around about somebody picking on me. I'd have more of a problem with my father, thinking, why you let him do that? And then as I got older in high school and stuff, when I didn't like the teachers, I thought that was the thing to do, is fight with them. You see, Dad not understanding things of what he was sowing into me. He saw the reaping of the harvest when I was thrown out of school. And they said, this kid's not welcome. They put me in continuation schools and stuff. You see, there was another seed sown. Sometimes, you know, when the Spirit of the Lord is tender and it moves upon us, and we find this hardness rejecting that life, we find an image that we want to project. Wasn't too long back, we had this macho man had been in jail most of his adult life, come around with his macho attitude and wants to carry himself like some macho man. I'd like sometimes you think, well, enter back into that macho realm for a little bit and knock the fire out of him before he could hear the Word of God, but it doesn't work that way. I found that we see those things emanating and going forth. It's another spirit. It's satanic. You see, Jesus had power and the authority when he walked among men. By the spoken word, he could have slayed them. And that'll happen. It's going to come to pass. That word of God sharper than a two-edged sword. And when he appears back in the same manner that they saw him descend, he's coming back and it's going to be a bloodbath. The Bible said to the horse's bridle. This religious America that thinks, oh, this great day of God when he comes back, it's the great and terrible day of the Lord, the Bible said. And America will be leveled. This Cretina, I believe was the name, or whatever, this storm that hit over there in Sodom and Gomorrah, or what you call New Orleans, the most filthy, wretched place in the world of immorality and perversion and sodomy, homosexuals and lesbians, all the filth. That was God's hand. He was just giving you a little forerunner of his wrath. And that was the mercies of God that took place over there. And you say, my, that sounds terrible. I think it was the devil. The Lord allowed him to do exactly what he was. When we find these airplanes flying into the towers over here, into the great financial institutions of America, you think, God, what a terrible thing. It was the hand of God to wake America up. I thought we were speaking about resurrection. We are, brothers and sisters. We're finding out how God resurrects. But let's go back to this natural type for we could bring some revelation or some of these mysteries that he was speaking about, for we could understand some things, for we could start looking into the right realms. We know if there's no power in the seed when they put it in the ground, it won't bring forth a harvest or yield forth fruit. Again, we see the parable where this tree did not have fruit upon it and it was cursed and withered up from the root, died before their eyes because no fruit. There was a case in the Bible where they prayed for the blind man and they prayed and then they asked him after they prayed, they said, now can you see? He said, yes, I could see. I see men as trees walking. So then they prayed again, and then he saw things the way they were. I believed he got his proper vision the first time. He saw into the Spirit, and we see men as trees. The Bible said we're supposed to have the fruit on our tree. If we don't have fruit upon our tree, the axe will be laid to the root of the tree, and we'll find this tree wither up and die. So when we start looking into the natural world, and we see this earth, and we see a seed that's sown into it, then we go into the next realm of blood life, and we find that man was sent into this earth to replenish, to multiply. We find man finds a companion. The Bible says the marriage bed is undefiled in all of its way, and it should be done through the Word of God. And he finds a companion, and he marries this woman. And the man plants seed within the earth and vessel, the woman. And if there's power in that seed will bring forth a fruit of that man. There'll be a fruitful womb, and it'll bring forth a life. And you say, there's resurrection. When the woman's womb opens up and the little child comes forth, that child is coming forth from the earth. And we say, well, that's a resurrection. Well, it's very typical of the very same thing. Brother Chuck helping us and Brother Pete working on the tract that we wrote, and it dealt with some of the things about how do I know that I'm born again. You see, many times there's people going through this world ever so confident that they're born of God. They talk about the love of God, the mercies of God, and how compassionate God is. And they go through this world and think that they're a child of God because God's love. Because he died for me. They hear the story and know that he died. But then yet, as we talk about the man and the woman, and the man's seed goes forth within the woman and she brings forth a fruit, how many situations are there where that doesn't happen? We know of many cases. The womb is unfruitful. The woman has problems and complications, and she can't bring forth a child, an unfruitful womb. We go back in the Old Testament, we read about it, and we find many of these men of God, their women being unfruitful, and they couldn't bring forth fruit of the womb, which was a curse, because they had no heir if they could not bring forth a child. Looking at things in different dimensions for you could understand God. Sometimes it could be the problem within the man, no potency or power within the seed. They go through this motions, the ritualistics or whatever you want to say, the motions of marriage, but there's no fruit, no child. Then yet we come over to the spiritual realm. There's many people that go to church and they sit in their churches and they hear and they hear and they hear, but there's no fruit of the womb. Jesus said that his kingdom was with not observation. It doesn't come by these eyes. That's why he said, though you have eyes to see, you do not see. We find that Jesus died. We know that he was taken to a cross of Calvary and he died on the cross of Calvary. But we know that God can't die, and we know that Jesus is God. Say, well, don't make sense then. He's the Prince of Life. He can't die. I can stand here before you and say that he never died. And I can stand here before you and say that he was crucified and died on the cross. And you say, well, let your nay be nay and your yea be yea. Which one is it? Well, see, we have to differentiate again between the Jesus and the Christ, between the Son of Man and the Son of God. The Catholic Church teaches that God died, but my Bible doesn't teach that, because God cannot die, has no beginning, no end. You say, well, that makes sense to me. That's why we're trying to get you to a place to get your eyes of your understanding open, that you can understand and see good when good comes, that you won't perish and die yourself. We find that he was taken and crucified on the cross to the point of death and sown into the ground. 3 days later, we find this rock rolling away from the tomb and he wasn't there. Angel of the Lord says, why are you seeking there for life when it's among the dead? And you say, well, there's a true resurrection there. That was the resurrection. I say, yea and amen. But brothers and sisters, even though we understand what he did and that he died and that there was a resurrection, where do we find life in that? What makes us have life? Again, if we would go back, and I'll say some things here, and I pray and hope that God will help you to understand. Many of you here have been indoctrinated in dimensional truth and understanding the water, blood, and spirit. Yes, you've partaken of water life and you've partaken of blood life. The first man, Adam, when he came on this earth, he was relative to the water world. There wasn't any sacrifice of animals and things being killed. They ate of the fruit of the garden, everything that came forth from water life. They ate of those things, and then when this woman partook of the tree in the midst of the garden that she was not partake of, there's a lot could be said there. If you think that God cursed all of mankind because of a woman ate an apple on a tree, it just shows that you don't have eyes to see, that you never got your eyes open. But that's what the Bible says. It was written in a parable and it was veiled from you. If you think that this great God, this merciful, loving God, cursed all of humanity because someone ate an apple in the midst of a garden, well, it wasn't because they ate the apple, Brother Rob, or that fruit on that tree. It was because of the disobedience. And I could say, yeah, you're coming to a little bit greater understanding. There's a lot that could be said there to bring forth the revelation and an understanding. We've done much teaching on that. But I say these things to challenge you the way you think. Challenge your own thoughts. Challenge, do you truly see? If Jesus stood before him and said they don't see and they're looking at him, you don't hear and they're hearing him, they could say, ah, he knows nothing, but that was God. We have to rend the veil again between the Jesus, the Son of Man, and the Son of God. Until we start differentiating dimensional perspectives, that we'll never understand the things of God. So we again look into the water type and we find the seed sown in the ground. We find the fruit coming forth. We find that the people in this water world or in this first man Adam, they were relative to those things. And then there was a fall. And then there was a bloodshed. The animals were killed to cover them. So we find an introduction to a blood life. We find that then there was a seed starts sowing in the physical realm. We start finding that Eve starts bringing forth fruit of that earth. And we find that even the fruit that came forth from that earth, that we could find one was blessed and one was cursed. We find Cain was cursed and numbered and put out. So we find two different kind of fruits coming forth from that womb. We find it's the parable that we read here. We found about some of the earth being stony, some of it being hard. Some of it that come up with appeared to be life and the sun came and scorched it out. And he went on to explain those parables. Some of the times you'll go to church, you'll get inspired by the Spirit of God and it moves in your life. Say, man, I need to make changes. I don't want to perish. I don't want to go to hell. And then all of a sudden you see fruit of life in them. They start making changes, giving up the dope, the alcohol, the snorting, the lying, the cheating. They start giving all those things up and you say, man, there's fruit. And then all of a sudden, it withers away and they're right back where they was at. So we start coming to an understanding. We see fruit coming forth out of the earth. And then we see this earth again receive one from the blood realm. And he goes in and he comes forth out of the earth. And they didn't recognize him. The ones that walked with him every day, they didn't recognize him. Because see, he came forth in another dimension then. And it was spirit. But I don't believe he was spirit, because when he walked among, he said, does spirit have flesh and bone? He told doubting Thomas, feel of me, thrust your hand into my side. So then we start trying to understand what spirit life is and start trying to understand that. So we find that there's a water world done away with by water flooding this earth, and it was done away with. And we find that there was a blood life in a physical realm. And then we find that we come down to the end of it, and we find that there was a crucifixion of our God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, upon the cross of Calvary. And we find that this bloodbath took place and showed an ending and abolishing of that life. That's physical life. And it has to do with the ending of that, the abolishing of death. It's appointed unto man once to die, then the judgment of God, the Bible says. Is there any way that I could bypass death? Is there any way that this death could be bypassed? You see, Jesus himself, when he went into the Garden of Gethsemane and he besought God, him being God himself, but then yet he was in the garden praying. You see, people get confused about those things. They don't understand. But we find him there in the garden and he says, if this cup could pass from me, but he said, nevertheless, let your will be done. We find the Son of Man crying out, if there was any other way that life could come, you know, so be it, but let your will be done. God, knowing that there had to be a sacrifice that we could have life, knowing that this sacrifice had to take place, thinking and wishing that possibly if there was any other way to have life. And there was no other way. And if Jesus was the firstborn of many brethren, and we consider ourselves the brethren of God, the Bible says now we are the sons of God. And we could go before the Lord and say, but Lord, is there any other way? Man, this is tough. Is there any other way, or do I have to die? And see, man struggles for life. But he's struggling for temporal life instead of spiritual life. Man wants to bring forth fruit of temporal life. They want substance, they want automobiles, they want finances, they want houses, they want all these things. And all that is temporal life. The Bible commands us to sow into the kingdom of God. Rust, moth, decay cannot touch it. But the things that we sow here, or the things that we reap here from the efforts of our hands, the things is temporal. So I ministered a message not long ago. The things that we have on this side are the things that judge us on the other side. Is that in all cases? Can be. Either the things that you obtain on this side is because of the abundance of the other side raining down on you, or they're the very things that judge you. The Bible said the wealth of the unjust will be the very thing to judge them on the day of judgment. But see, man gets his eyes on the wrong thing and they're pursuing those things and seeking those things and great wealth and popularity and fame. The world's moved by that. You take some whore and you take and because she could stand in front of a TV camera and play a rule of vanity, the whole world esteems her as some great thing. I know that sounds like harsh speaking, but that's all they are. You go to Hollywood, it's the most filthy and immoral thing, but the whole world follows after it like it's a god. Why? Because they could stand before a television. And before they could do that, why does the world run after them? Or somebody could bang on an instrument and do something and scream out. And all those things, the whole world runs after that. Why? Why do they run after those things? And what kind of resurrection is that? What kind of fruit is that coming forth? You see, there's a dispute of those seeds that are wanting to come forth in your life. When Jesus was there walking among them, and he came out of Jerusalem and he went out, Mary comes to him and said, speaking about the death of Lazarus. and said, you know, man, you know, if you could have come earlier, you know, he's dead. And the Lord said, no, he's not dead. He's asleep. She said, no, he's been in the ground for 4 days. He stinks by now. He's dead. He said, no, he's alive. She said, are you speaking about the resurrection? And he said, I am the resurrection. You see, he was bringing them a revelation right then. He was bringing them to an understanding right then. Now, the thing is if we understand, again, this natural seed sown out here and a life comes up, we understand a physical seed sown in the womb and a life comes forth, there must be a spiritual seed that is sown and there must be a life that comes forth from that seed. And if there's no life in that seed, the same Jesus that walked and saw no life in that seed of that fig tree and he cursed it and it withered away and dried up, the same Jesus, the same today, yesterday, and forever, the same Jesus is walking among men, brothers and sisters. And if there's no life coming forth and no fruit from your tree, the tree of life, if there's no fruit on that tree, it will be cursed at the root and it'll wither away. You understand, a tree, when the life-giving sap and things running in that tree, when it goes forth back down the ground, there's no life on the tree, no fruit whatsoever. We call it the winter time. We come back in the springtime and all that life-giving force starts coming forth and coming up out. Your tree, unless this life-giving force of the Spirit of life doesn't come forth within that and it starts coming up out of that, the resurrecting that spring, bringing it forth, then there's no life. And you'd be withered away and be numbered in death. You hear me say so oftentimes, the Bible said it's whoever you yield your members to or who you are of. You realize that the woman, it's whatever that she lays with is what she brings the forth of? Let's make it simple for understanding. We're in a culture in this day and hour, the blacks and the whites are marrying together. But if the woman is with a black man and a white man, it's going to be easy to tell when she brings forth the fruit of that womb whose child it is. It's not hard to understand. That's not no great revelation, is it? If she has a white husband and she's frolicking around and in immorality, adultery, with a black man, and all of a sudden the fruit of that womb comes forth and it's black, it's going to be really difficult to explain to her husband that that's his kid, wouldn't it? But see, you understand that because you're looking into physical realm and physical life and blood life. But then yet, when we think of the prince of darkness, as I told this macho man, thought he was so macho, being in prison most of his adult life. And I said, you're nothing but a sissy. And I said, you've been raped and molested by every unclean thing that comes along. He didn't like that. You take a macho man and put him in jail and say, y'all, you're going to be this punk for this big black boy over here and he's going to make you his woman. Ain't ever going to happen, they say. Happens all the time. I know it's, you know, you might draw up a little bit with me, but I'm talking for you into your understanding that you could see what happens in the physical realm. You watch it on the filthy TV, continue, you watch all those things, and the preachers are supposed to just, you know, be some little, I don't know. I don't know the words to express it. I think that most people think ministers are a bunch of sissified little things that walk around. That's what they think Jesus was. But I remember the story where he ran them out of the temple. Sometimes you think you know God, but you really don't know him or understand him. And I apologize. I don't want to get into the filth of this world and the conversations of this world to try to express a loving God. But I was trying to get a man's attention that lived in another world and he didn't have eyes to see the things that I was speaking about. And I said, you've been raped and molested. The Bible calls this the earthen vessel. There's a dispute for the woman, the Bible says. I'm going to say this to you as a man, that the Lord Jesus says that he's coming back for his bride. So that leaves you out. See, I'm trying to get you into another mind of understanding. He said he's coming back for his bride without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. That's who he's coming back for. So I'm a man. Am I left out? Now, if we go back into this dimension of a natural world, or we say even physical, and I look at myself as masculine, a man, and if I go in and marry another man, then I'm a pervert. And God talks about that in Romans, how it's an abomination to him. Terrible thing. But these queers and sodomites and homosexuals, they think it's okay. They'll go and have their relations together and they'll talk about God and how they're Christians. See, those are blind. They don't have eyes to see. There's no homosexuals going to inherit the kingdom of God. That's what my Bible says. They cannot inherit the kingdom of God. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. A man bubbles in his booze and he'd be drunk and stumbling around and stuff and want to talk about God. I've been there. I remember smoking pot with a guy and he wanted to talk about Jesus. Raised up in a church and this and that, and his grandfather just died and wants to talk about Jesus. Hi. Brother Paul back here shared stories with me, getting high with some guys and going out here to a brother that passed away's graveside and calling forth the dead and different things. See, we could get so perverted in our minds and think that we know God or speaking to God or calling upon God, and he never even hears our prayers. His ears are closed to the cry of the wicked. But we think we could live like wicked dogs and swine, and he's going to hear our prayer. See, we don't understand. Now the thing is when I'm speaking to this man about a molestation, and I say that you being a man in one dimension or a woman in another. Because just like the woman in the dimension that you understand when a man and woman marry, the Bible says one in the flesh, but he said, I show you a mystery. But they marry and the seed of the man goes forth and they bring forth a fruit. But you see, we got to come to understanding the tree of life, the Spirit of God. And this spiritual seed is going to come within in the realm that you're walking in now and showing the feminine or the woman side. There has to be a cleansing. And the cleansing comes by the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he cleansed you as that bride of Christ. And that seed must go in you. And it must come forth, a resurrection. And that seed must resurrect and come forth. And it's going to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit of God. And if you don't have the fruit of the Spirit in your life, you're lost on your way to hell. I don't care how many times you count your beads or say your Hail Marys. I don't care how many times you go to church. I don't care if you every night before you go to bed you pray. It doesn't matter. Go back about Paul. He said he was in the synagogues preaching daily. Daily. And when the God himself appeared to him, he said, why does thou persecute me? Some of you persecute God in this day and hour. When good things come, you come against it and you speak against it and you kill it. And you have blood on your hands. See, you don't understand what life is, nor do you understand what death is. You think you understand life and death. You think when they put your grandparents or your mothers and your fathers in the ground, you say, that's death. They died. And you weep and you mourn. And the Bible says that that's the day of rejoicing is on the day that they put them in the ground. On the day of that one's birth is the day of mourning. See, you don't think like God or understand God. You have things all messed up. So when Jesus there and Mary comes and says, oh, Lazarus is dead. He said, he's not dead. He's just asleep. Oh, but he stinks by now. And then he spoke about others, why they still yet lived, according to your thoughts. And he said that they're twice dead and they're plucked up by the roots. Why they still yet live. You see, now we're starting to come to some understanding. You see, there's through the deception of devils, the Bible says that Satan will climb up into the upper lintels. And through the deception of demon spirits and devils, there's doctrines being preached throughout the world and in the churches that defy the Word of God. They absolutely bring a disgrace to God's written Word. This is life. We can't deviate from this Bible, from this Word. Not one iota. This is the seed of life when it becomes spirit. Not what you see on that written page, but it's got to become spirit. It's got to become life. And it must enter in and it must bring forth life. If you must produce the fruit of the Spirit in your life, we say, what is that? Let's turn our Bibles one more time. We'll read a little bit, just keeping things simple as possible, trying to challenge you in your own understanding that you can understand the way God is. I want you to go with me over to Galatians 5th chapter. I'm going to take my time just a little bit this morning and we'll touch back into some thoughts here. Let's just read all of the 5th chapter. It won't take long. It says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Speaking about the religious ways. Now here we speak about circumcision. People think, well, you know, this and that. But he would be dealing with the same thing of these people in their religious attire and their religious ways. They go to church on Sundays and, you know, this is what we do. He'd be dealing with them the same way. They thought that they knew God because of the circumcision. And that's why he's dealing with it this way. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? We have to be obedient to the Word, brothers and sisters. The Bible said if you love Him, you keep His commandments. If you're not keeping the commandments of this Word, then you don't love Him. It's that simple. Oh, but I love God. If you love Him, you keep His commandments. You're obedient to His Word. Or otherwise, you're numbered as an unbeliever. This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord, that he will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now listen, we're going to start getting into the fruit here now. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Talking about two lives here now, the life of the flesh and the life of the Spirit. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Okay, now we're talking about a spirit of flesh and a spirit of God. Now these works are of the flesh now. This is corruption, the part that dies and perishes. It's easy to examine yourself and see if you be in the faith. It's easy to look at your child and see if it's black or white. Could you see the woman still trying to convince her white husband that the black man she was frolicking with, that this is his kid? You don't look like none of my ancestors. Could you see him trying to convince? Could you see you standing before the Lord trying to convince him that you brought forth his fruit? Sometimes they have to say things to get your attention. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of the which I tell you before, and I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's the Bible. That's the word of God. They shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Some say, well, I've never been in witchcraft. The Bible said that rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. When you rebel against God's word, you're in witchcraft. You're guilty of that. Hatred, variances, drunkenness. Some say, I've never had a drop of alcohol in my body, but you're drunk on the cares of this world and the cares of life. You see, we got to unveil things and start seeing it the way Jesus sees it. Murders, but I've never taken a life, but you crucify with your mouth and you trample the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ under your feet, and you're numbered as a murderer. You see, we need to understand the word. But we go on here. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. See, now we're talking about a spirit of life and a spirit of flesh. We find that he was crucified, the need of him being crucified on the cross that we could have life. Him being the firstborn of many brethren. Him being the resurrection, the Prince of Life. Now the thing is, brothers and sisters, we have to be partakers of this resurrection. And you say, well, Brother Rob, I know that I can't be partakers of the resurrection unless I die. And I said, yes, now you're coming to some revelation. But right here, as we read here, it said that these that were crucified in the flesh. We find that these two things warring against one another, the flesh and the spirit. And we could be crucified with Christ. Paul made a statement here. He said, I've been crucified with Christ. He said, the life that I now live in this flesh, he said, I live by faith. He declared that he no longer lived, but now he's living a life by faith. Faith being the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. So now, when we talk about when Jesus said that you don't have eyes to see, then we come to hear him speaking about this life of faith, and it's the world of invisible, and we make it visible. Jesus said that all principalities, all powers, all dominions, that he has authority over all of them, all things visible and all things invisible. You see, the visible world that you see is the world of deception, the world of lie, lying vanity. When you go by what you see, you'll be deceived. But we've got to learn to walk by the Spirit. Jesus said, my kingdom's not by observation. Some of you think that someday Jesus is coming back to this earth to set up a kingdom. He's already established a kingdom, and you don't see it because you don't walk in it. I dwell in the kingdom of God and walk in the kingdom of God. The Bible said the kingdom of God is within me and I'm within him and he's within me. And you say, well, there's got to be more to it than that. That's life. I could take and hold up a seed right here and have a little seed in my hand. We call it an acorn. And you look at it and say, I say, what is this? And you say, it's an acorn. And I said, no, it's an orchard. And you said, no, it's an acorn. I said, no, I see a tree. And more than that, I see fruit-bearing trees. And I see an orchard. There's something laying within that thing that goes into the ground that dies, that brings forth a life. And when you look at this earthen vessel, all it is the thing that carries the life. If you would observe this earthen vessel, the Bible says it's the lying vanity. When you want to project masculinity, when you want to project yourself as a woman of a feminine such, and you know, with the swaying of the body, and you want to project yourself in the shape and the figure, it's the lying vanity. This is what we have to kill out and get away from and bring forth the fruit of godliness and holiness and virtue and righteousness. You think, well, this is going to happen after I die. What makes you think that someday they put you in a box, that all these things that just pertain unto life are going to happen? There is seed that is being sown now. Even as I speak, there's seeds of life that are going forth, and you're going to do one or the other, reject it or receive the seed of this world, the fruit of this world, as we read about. It's going to be coming forth in you. Recognize which child you're carrying. Recognize what seed's coming forth. The Bible said, whoever you yield your members to are who you are of. And if you're yielding your members to the lust of the world and the pride of life and the prestige of this world and the fame and the popularity, you are of this world. And the Bible said, your father is the devil. But when you have the spirit of truth, then there's a spirit emanating from you crying, Abba, Father. And then you have the same father that Jesus Christ had, the same seed that went in him, that brought him forth from the dead, will dwell in you and resurrect you and bring you forth into life. We think of the Jesus going into the ground and coming forth. That showed the conquering and abolishing of death. Now, if I want to be partakers of that life, that was showing something in the second heaven, the physical realm, blood life realm, and the soul realm. But see, now we're speaking about spirit life. And this is what you need to understand. What took place there was an introduction into spirit life. If you would know, he said, it's expedient that I go back to the Father, that I could send back the Holy Ghost, the Comforter. We say the Holy Spirit, spirit life. And this spirit life come back to the earth, earthen vessel. This is the change, the metamorphosis, the transfiguration. There is a transformation that you can see today. The transfiguration is an invisible work. The transformation is something you can see. But when this body is changed in a moment, a twinkling of an eye, brothers and sisters, that collective change, then it is no longer a corruptible flesh that goes to corruption. It's changed to spirit flesh. Eternal. Some are struggling for eternal life. Some dispute with this that I'm going to say, and it's okay. You have a spirit dwelling in you that's eternal, living forever. The destiny of your spirit is what's in question, not the question of do you have life eternal. This is why hell was created. The Bible said hell wasn't created for man. You say, what kind of God would put a man into hell? The same kind of God that put his own son upon the cross of Calvary and was beaten beyond recognition that you wouldn't go there. And he paid the price that you wouldn't have to go there. And you simply got to have faith and believe in him and show love to him of what he's done for you. But when you go on through this world spitting in his face on a daily basis, then how do you expect to enter into life with him? Let's speak about the resurrection just for a moment. When they put people in the dirt out here in the ground and they call it death, and the Lord said he called it sleep. He said they're asleep. But then yet he said some were dead while they still yet had breath going in and out of their life. And he said they were dead. So we got to start understanding what's being spoken of here. We talk about him going into the earth and the stone rolling back and him coming out of the earth. And now we talk about this being the earthen vessel, and we talk about the seed of life. The Bible said it's that seed that remaineth in you that makes you pass from death unto life. It's that seed that remaineth in you that you cannot sin. Sin is the sting of death. When your preachers are teaching you that you're sinners and sin every day, your preachers are of the devil. That's a strong statement there, Brother Rob. Well, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. If I tell you that you're a sinner and sin every day, and you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your God and Savior, you're saying that his blood wasn't powerful enough to cleanse and wash away and put your sin as far as the east is from the west. But he came to do away with sin, because sin is the sting of death, and death is conquered and abolished. That's why we as sons of God cannot die. I've already been resurrected, brothers and sisters. The Bible says that we as the sons of God, the Christians, are dwelling in heavenly places. And you said, man, you preacher, you're crazy. I'm looking at you and I see you right there. But you don't have eyes to see what I'm talking about. I'm dwelling in heavenly places. You see, you need to start understanding what the resurrection truly is. Oh, but you know, I want to see the little naked angels flying around with their little violins and their diapers. And you know, and I want to walk on streets of gold. Is that heaven to you? You poor thing. But you better go to the Catholic Church, get hooked up with the priest. Let him whisper in your ear a little bit. Is that what heaven is? Sometimes I make a mockery of what people's mind thoughts and things, what they think heaven is. Oh, I can't wait to get to heaven to see this little guy floating around in a diaper. Come on, man. Kind of ignorant, isn't it? What are you going to do, Brother Rob, when you get up there and they got one of them things floating around like that? Well, let me tell you about those angels that are in heaven. There's some of them that are before the throne day and night, 24 hours a day. Hallelujah. to the Lord, to the King, day and night. You see, brothers and sisters, for we can understand where I'm saying and where I'm going here, let's talk about those angels. The Bible says that when Satan was cast out of heaven, a third of those angels were cast out with him. They're not floating around in diapers and little violins. They're inhabiting men and women. Don't you remember there in the Bible when this woman had Mary Magdalene, I believe 7 devils cast out of her? Those are those angels, those fallen angels. The Bible said, beware when you entertain strangers unaware that you entertain angels. You better start understanding what spirits are and angels are and thoughts are. The Bible says that these spirits are seeking around the dry places, looking for a place of inhabitation. They're looking for a place to plant their seed. And when you are so lascivious, what we just read here said, don't take the grace of God to lasciviousness or to the occasion, to the flesh. And what you do is you just take the grace of God, oh, God's love, God's mercy, and you take it to the occasion of flesh. And then those spirits are sowing seeds within your flesh and coming forth, as we read the parable about the seed that was sown out there in that bad ground. But it yields forth its seed and its fruit. We read what the fruit of it is when Satan is sowing a seed within you. Hatred, variance, drunkenness, lying. That's when Satan is sowing a seed in you. Let's talk about those spirits. We talk about Jesus Christ being the husband, that we must be cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can enter into the secret chambers with God Himself, for we could receive heir of the throne of God. You see, in the Old Testament, if the woman didn't bring forth the child, she was not an heir. She had no inheritance. But she had to bring forth the child. Mary had to bring forth the child, the Son of God, the Son of Man. Had to bring him forth. And she had to accept him as her God and Savior that she could become heir. Now you being the woman got to bring forth Jesus Christ that you could become heir to the things of God. The Bible said joint heirs. So now we're talking about these spirits that are sowing. Who is your father? What are you of? What kind of fruit is your womb brought forth? The Bible said judgment begins in the house of God. The Bible said it's appointed unto man once to die, then the judgment. Either you're going to wait and die and be put into the earth, and then you're going to stand before God and receive the judgment. The judgment that you'll see from that time is when He looks at you and He says, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. Depart from me. And the Bible says about these little diapered angels that you have playing their violins are going to grab you, and they're going to dig their claws into your ankles, and they're going to drag you into outer darkness, and you're going to be cast into outer darkness where the worm dieth not and the gnashing of teeth, and you are going to perish through all of eternity. All of eternity. You say, man, that doesn't sound good. No, it don't sound good at all. But that's the word of God. Oh, but I believe God is love. Yeah, He loved you so much that He came and took that beating on the cross of Calvary and gave you life. And He sent back the power of the seed in the spirit that you could receive this seed of life, that you have all authority and power to overcome everything. There's nothing that could be laid to your charge of God's elect, because you've got all authority and power to put all things under your feet. Everything. If you're walking in defeat and you're stumbling around through this world and partaking of the world, of the love of the world and the lust of the world, and say, oh, God's mercy, He loves me, you're deceived. You're deceived, because the Bible says that He's angry with the wicked and He pursues them off the face of the earth. The Bible said, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. The Bible said, prophesy smooth things to me. Man, let's talk about the mercies and the love of God. This is the mercies and the love of God, brothers and sisters. For we can understand that these spirits are seeking places to plant seed. You know, we read the parable there, and where it goes on over and it talks about the one that thought he sowed good seed in there, but an evil one came in by night and sowed this seed. There is an enemy seeking who he could destroy and seeking a place that he could sow his seed. You got to be careful, got to become like a chaste virgin. You got to become into a situation that you are guarding over your relationship with him. You know, a woman that's godly and faithful and loyal to her husband, she's not out frolicking with other men. And she brings forth fruit of the womb is going to be His fruit. And this is godly and it's holy and it's right. But see, the same thing, brothers and sisters, in the perspective of you being the bride of Christ. If you're frolicking with the devil himself and having relationships with him, committing adultery with him, the Bible said friendship with the world is adultery in God. Jesus said, if a man look upon a woman and lusteth after her, he committeth adultery. And we just read here that no adulterer will enter in. And you're thinking it has to be some kind of a immoral relationship outside of marriage, but it's simply being friends with the world. You see, we're coming into now some understanding about what the spirit life is. When you find something in your heart that mocks against holiness and righteousness and purity and those things that are clean, it's because there's a deceiving devil that has taken your mind. And he's trying to sow his seed and his fruit within you. So we find that there's two life-giving forces, one of light and one of darkness. If you are a child of the resurrection, you are a child of light. If you are a child of darkness, a creature of night. This is why you find most of the wickedness happening at night. You find most of the reveling and the frolicking and things going on at night because they hide in the veils of darkness. This is the way satanic spirits do. Well, you don't think the devil's moving at noontime then and today? No, that's not what I'm saying. You're not understanding or seeing. You could be out there in the noontime of the day and you'd be in darkness because you're a creature of darkness and a child of the night. But the Bible said that we're the children of the day and the children of the resurrection. When Jesus, before he was crucified and before he was resurrected, and when he walked there and he told Mary, he said, I am the resurrection. Brothers and sisters, we need to come to that kind of a revelation and know that we are the resurrection, that Christ is resurrected here within our life. And but no longer you nor I that speak, but it's Jesus Christ living and dwelling. People are waiting for Jesus to come back on this earth and set up some kind of a kingdom. He's already set up his kingdom, and we are the children of God, and now the kingdom of God dwelleth within us, and now Christ is speaking in the earth in his day and hour. And you've been deceived by the Catholic Church and the doctrine of devils and the Protestant churches that have come up, the daughters of that, and they've got your mind all messed up and fuddled up, and you have no idea what kind of seed is coming forth and been planted in you. There's only one seed, brothers and sisters, in the seed of life, and that's Christ. And if you're not of him or have that dwelling within you, then you're still, because it's that seed that remain within you that makes you pass from death unto life. It's that seed there that conquers sin and death and abolishes death. And if you want to be part of life, you need to come into it now. The thing is that when this body's put in that box and thrown into the ground, if you've been born again and received life and death has been abolished, that's not counted death, it's sleep. But if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it'll be counted death, and you'll resurrect for the second death, and you'll stand before the living God, and he says, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity, depart from me. Oh, this is that loving, merciful God. Yes, he's a loving, merciful God, because if you don't know him and have his spirit and brought forth his fruit, you're going to be put out, because we don't want that fruit in the kingdom of God through all of eternity. It's a pure, righteous, holy place. Christianity ain't some religious cloak that we put on, or some way that we dress, or some way that we grow our hair or wear our clothing. That's not Christianity, brothers and sisters. Christianity is the spirit of power, the spirit of life dwelling within us that we took on his name. When a man marries a woman, she got rid of her old name and took on his name. It's the same thing when I married unto the Lord Jesus Christ, and I married unto him, I took on his name. And then I received his seed, and I brought forth his fruit. Amen. And that makes me heir to his life. And there's no other life outside of him. You won't find it in Buddha. You won't find it in any of these other ways. You're not going to find it in the Catholic Church. You're not going to find it in the Protestant Church, the Baptist, the Methodist. You're not going to find it there. You only find it in the Spirit, and it's the seed of the Spirit, and it's the seed of life. You could be a member of this church and call yourself a Christian Templeite or whatever you want to say. You could be a Pikeite or from Little Bethlehem. You could be a Branhamite or whatever you want to say. That's not the power of the seed of life. It's in the Spirit, and it's of Christ. Amen. And you might hear about it in some of those churches that I named, but don't put your trust in the name over the door. Put your trust in the seed of life, and that's Christ. Amen. Let that seed go forth within you and let it resurrect and come forth. And I'll bring forth that life. Some of those people that I spoke about brought forth that same seed of life. Amen. You might have a natural brother and you might have a natural sister, and they came forth from the same womb, and they come forth from the same loins of your father. And it's the same natural seed, but that's not eternal life. That's temporal life. But we need to have the same father. And there needs to be a spirit emanating from us crying, Abba, Father. And that spirit needs to receive that seed of life, and we need to bring forth the resurrection life. Let's quit making Easter Sunday some kind of a ritualistic of a once a year situation, and let's bring forth the resurrection of life on a daily basis. Let Christ live, be mortified, and be crucified all the day long. The Bible teaches us that very clearly, that you take up your cross on a daily basis. In other words, every single day you mortify the flesh and you kill out your desires, your wants, and you kill that man out and let Jesus resurrect every single day in this earth. He needs to come alive and he needs to walk. And when you do that, you'll become one with him and you will be numbered in the resurrection and you will have life. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's stand together. You know, when we think of a resurrection, brothers and sisters, we know there must be forth a first a crucifixion or a death. And as we spoke about this spirit of life and this spirit of flesh, and we find that these two are contrary one to another. What we read there in Galatians, Paul made a statement over in Romans. He said, you know, the things I want to do are the things I find myself not doing. He said, the things that I don't want to do are the very things I find myself doing. He was speaking about these two lives and them trying to resurrect in him and come forth. The thing is recognize that and start learning to exercise dominion and authority over your life, over the flesh, the natural life, the temporal life. Recognize over that and let Jesus Christ be King of Kings and Lord of Lords in your life. Come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Have a personal relationship with Him. Truly get born again. Chris was sharing with me about one of his friends gets high on the weekdays and goes to church on Sundays. You see, is it magical just to go to church and be a doper and a partier and a drunk the rest of the week and go to church? No, all you do is when you go to church is you receive judgment because you hear the word. And this word is what puts men in hell. I know that sounds tough, but this is what puts men in hell. The Bible said sin cannot be imputed unless there's a knowledge of it. And the place we get the knowledge of sin is right here. And once you've come to know the truth and you reject the truth, then it's going to be numbered to you and imputed to you as sin. And when sin is imputed, that's the sting of death. Now the thing is that when you get born again and receive the spirit of life and the spirit of power, my God's power, my God's not some sissified sissy, He's power. And He gave me the power to overcome this world. I can overcome the things of this world. There ain't nothing, brothers and sisters, that can overpower me. There ain't no woman, there ain't no drunkenness, there ain't no dope, there ain't anything that's greater than my God. I can overcome it all. And when you are bound by the beggarly elements of this world and you can't get rid of the tobacco and the snorting and the alcohol and the cocaine and all those things, you're saying that God's weak if you call yourself a Christian. That's what you're doing. But my God is power. He's all authority. He is resurrection. Hallelujah. My God didn't just resurrect over there 2,000 years ago in that stone rolled back. He's resurrecting in my life on a daily basis. The Bible said no longer the minister speaking, but Christ speaking. That's the resurrection. He has come forth out of this earth, what you see with your eyes, and He's speaking forth to you today, saying to come out of the world and be a separate people. The Bible said you must be born again to inherit the kingdom of God. And unless you be born again, you are none of His. Amen. So receive life. Amen. Let's sing a song or two together. The altars are open this morning.
Oh, let Thy will be done.
Let's close our eyes, brothers and sisters.
Oh, let
Hallelujah. Jesus, we love You. Can you feel the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of love, the Spirit of power, the Spirit of God? Just close your eyes. Forget about who you're with this morning. Forget about where you're standing at. And know that you're standing on holy ground, standing before the presence of a living God. And you love Him and worship Him and praise Him. He's the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of power. Can you say, oh God, fill me with Your Holy Ghost. Let that seed of life come in and enter into me, oh God, that I could have life and life more abundantly. Oh God, fill me with Your Holy Ghost and Your power, the power of salvation. Fill me with the joy of Your Spirit, hallelujah, that I could have the joy of the Lord. Let that peace that surpasses all understanding fill me to the fullness, O God, hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. I've passed from death unto life. Do you have a fear of death today? If you have a fear of death, that means you haven't passed from death unto life, hallelujah. When you've passed from death unto life, you know that you're eternal, sealed in with God in the heavenlies. Hallelujah. You've been crucified with Him, resurrected with Him, and you're partakers of life with Him. Thank You, Lord Jesus. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your God and your Savior, the altars are open this morning. Peter laid hands on them and they received the gift of life, the seed of life, the Holy Ghost. Amen. As He laid hands. If you're not born again this morning, we'll lay hands on you and impart life into you. Just as that one takes the shovel and puts it into that ground and breaks it up, and he puts seed in there, we'll impart a life-giving seed of Christ Amen. Don't let the love and the cares of the world choke that seed out. The Bible said He inhabits the praises of His people. Can you praise Him this morning that He can inhabit your praises? Amen. Hallelujah.
And oh, He's gone.
That seed of life.
And the stone.
While you're praising Him and loving Him, they can come into your womb and into your heart and give you life abundant and eternal and holy. Hallelujah. That you can be partakers of what I'm speaking about. Praise Him and love Him, church.
And oh, He's gone.
Thank you, Lord.
For dead Shariah, young.
Are you excited about being born again and excited about life? Or does the only thing that excites you is natural life? The only thing that excites you is the gifts of this world and the fruit of this world? Then you haven't partaken of the life I'm speaking about. Thank you, Jesus. When that Spirit of the living God, that invisible Spirit, comes and fills you from your innermost being, and the rivers of living water and life flow out of you, then you start partaking of life and understanding, and then you know who Jesus is. Hallelujah. Otherwise, He's just a religious symbol to you. That seed is light, and that seed, when it's in you, it eradicates the darkness of the first man, your first birth of the flesh. Light eradicates darkness. Let that light come into you and start forming in you and bust away out of the darkness of your first birth. Hallelujah.
He's gone, and the stone is rolled.
Are you a child of light?
And the tomb is.
Are you a child of the resurrection? If you're not sure, I would make sure. The Bible said, make your calling and your election sure. Satan will offer you this world, and you'll have pleasure for a season, and then it'll come to naught. Amen. But if you partake of the life I'm speaking about, you'll have pleasure throughout all of eternity, dwelling in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, walking within His kingdom. Amen. I appreciate you all. Love you. Pray that we said something to help you. I pray as the woman and the man that are in marriage, they go into the relationship. Sometimes we could say the frolic of the relationship, and then all of a sudden there's a fruit of life. And I pray and hope that maybe you wandered into this church today thinking, well, it's Easter Sunday. This is maybe the thing to do. But I pray that there was a seed that goes forth and all of a sudden starts pushing out of shape as that natural woman starts swelling and gets out of shape. She's not no longer desirable of the world. Gets all pushed out. And I pray that this seed finds a place in your womb that it starts pushing out, making you peculiar, making you different, making you that you don't feel like you can fit in out there with them. You know, when you got His Spirit dwelling in you, you don't fit out there. The devil will try to make things look good and sound so good, he'll offer you the world. He took Jesus Himself up on the pinnacle of the temple and said, here, I'll give you all of this world right here. The Bible said, what is it? If you gain this whole world and lose your soul, what have you prospered? Satan will offer it to you, but it's temporal. It's here for a season or for a moment, gone. Your life is like a vapor and a mist, the Bible said. It's here for a moment and vanishes away. Come to understand what true life is and let it come forth and cultivate it. Keep that seed clean and weed those garden things out and get those things that'll choke them out of your life. Get rid of the things that are unpleasing to God. And find eternal life, abundant life, holy life, and godly life. Let's sing this together as we close the service. Praise you, Jesus. God wants to bless you. He wants to give you everything that pertains unto life. And believe me, when you find the blessings in the Spirit, you'll find the blessings on this side, abundant and holy and godly. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to be in health. Try Him. Try God. Hallelujah. The devil will always take you back. Let's just close our eyes and worship Him. The rain of God is here. It's raining down. And it's watering that seed. Just reach up your hands and say, I love you, Jesus. I praise you, Almighty God. Fill me with your Spirit. And let your life come forth. Hallelujah. Praise Him and worship Him. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We'll get Brother Eric to come up. Close the service. The altars are still open. Hallelujah. If you think I'm crazy, and you never partook of this life, take your opportunity and come forth, and I'll lay hands on you and pray that God will fill you with His Spirit, with the Holy Ghost, with His power, hallelujah, that you could be an overcomer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina, 27261. We, the brothers and sisters at Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come and worship with us. Our services are on Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Wednesday night at 7 p.m., and we also have a Friday night service at 7 p.m. We are located at 304 Green Oak Drive, just off Highway 62 in Archdale. Thanks again, and may God richly bless you.